Some concern has been expressed about the role of Islam in future governments emerging in the Middle East and North Africa. For insight, we went to Zen Smiley, the Middle East and Africa editor of The Economist.
I think what's very surprising in the past 2 or 3 months is that Islam and Islamism has always been perceived to be the key opposition to many of the autocrats of the Middle East. But in the past few weeks, it's been the sort of dog that didn't bark, and most of the big mass demonstrations, whether they be in Cairo, in Egypt, in Tunisia, or indeed in Damascus, Syria, or Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, the Islamists have not been all that prominent. In fact, they've been really quite reticent, and the extremer versions have been even more reticent. But of course, many people still do worry that now that some of the regimes have been toppled and some of them are looking pretty shaky, the Islamists may, as it were, come in on the back of the revolution and still end up as, very influential in whatever new order emerges.
Why do you believe the Islamists have been holding back?
Because I think the real drive for the revolutions has been youth, unemployment, frustration, a sense that most people are just not getting a fair crack at having education and prosperity. And although Islam has very often been a vehicle for opposition, in this instance, it's been, I won't say completely irrelevant, but it hasn't been the main driving force. The main driving force has been the usual secular feelings of grievance that people all over the world, whether in Muslim countries or Christian countries, have felt when people, young people especially, feel that they are not getting a fair deal.
Some people worry that if Islam becomes the issue, that it may be radical Islam behavior. Are you fearful of this?
I don't think I am particularly. I mean, one thing you do have to remember, there are 22 countries in the Arab League, and a good half of them are at the moment, their regimes are under pressure. But they are all very, very different. And some countries like Tunisia have a very strong secular tradition and have a middle class, quite well-educated, good contacts across the Mediterranean with Europe and so forth. Others at the other end of the spectrum, for example, Yemen, are much, much poorer. The state is much weaker. And I think it's in the sort of weaker, more chaotic areas that you might get militant, radical Islam filling the vacuum. So you do have to see the countries as a spectrum. It isn't just sort of one consistent sort of theory that you can apply across the region.
Do you believe Islam and democracy can go hand in hand?
Well, indeed, I do. And The Economist in the current edition explores that very question in its cover editorial. It is perfectly true that in the past century or so, you cannot say with confidence that they have happily gone hand in hand. But I think as people get more connected, more educated, and so forth, you are beginning to see places, admittedly not actually in the Arab world, but Turkey, I think, is a good example, but we also have Malaysia and Indonesia, places where civil society is basically Muslim, which are developing good, solid, multi-party democracies, albeit with strong Islamic influence. And I think that is the hopeful way to go.
Zen Smiley, the Middle East and Africa editor of The Economist, speaking with us from his offices in London. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington.